I have an idea. The other day, I made hamburgers and they turned out so well that I decided I'm going to start calling them something. I thought this would be a great church fundraiser. I'm going to call them the Big Mac. And I made them with two beef patties and some pickles and lettuce cheese. And I even have some secret sauce, sesame seed bun. And I thought what would be cool is this summer, if our youth group will set up this sign and put a big M out here for my new special Big Mac. And we can have a fundraiser for that. Don't you think that's a great idea? That was not very enthusiastic. What's that? No, I just make hamburgers. So I thought this would be cool, so I thought I'd run it by some investors because that's what you need to do. But they totally were rude because they said you need to get permission. Permission? What permission? I know how to make a daggone good hamburger. And we're going to call it the Big Mac. But they're like, well, you can't really do that. Oh, yes, I can. Watch. Flip it. Grill it. What would be the problem with that kind of attitude? It's illegal. There's a thing called trademark. Someone already has a Big Mac. And somebody already has golden arches. You just can't create a hamburger shop anywhere and put McDonald's sign out front, right? In the early church, the gospel was spreading and there were churches popping up everywhere. The word had got out that Jesus rose from the dead, part of why we celebrate communion. That he didn't just die for our sins, he also conquered them and he kicked death's hindermost parts. And he lives forever, right? Amen? So that's pretty cool, and people are getting excited about that. There's a runaway church, and there's glorious things happening, and people are giving their lives to Christ, and they're getting together to worship him and to fellowship and study and learn about him. But the problem was, all they had was the Old Testament, and some people were just finding out about Jesus for the first time. Some were finding about the Holy Spirit for the first time, and so there are different variations on a theme popping up everywhere, and people are start labeling and saying, this is a Christian church too. We like some other gods. We like some other beliefs. Whether we like to mix our religions, we believe in some other gods, but we like Jesus too. And so as the apostles started dying off and other leaders were being raised up in the faith, they had to begin to kind of corral that to go, you just can't put a golden arches or a cross on every building and call it a Christian church. There are certain standards that you must go by. So John takes it upon himself. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 John. It's in the back of the Bible right before Revelation, Jude and Revelation. Paul writes an open letter to the general church population at large, and he says this will help distinguish what is central to who is a Christian. There's a checklist that we kind of got to go by. This is kind of like a memo to the franchises from corporate that, you know, at Wendy's they have square patties, at McDonald's we have round patties. And so he's writing a memo to all the franchises popping up going, this is how we do it. This is the correct protocol, and this is way more important than hamburgers because this is doctrine, this is theology, this is the essence of what it means to be a Christ follower. And so it all starts with God. So I'm going to read 1 John chapter 1. We talked about it last week. Today is our sixth Sunday of the new year of 2020. We started our year trying to be very practical to talk about paying attention to our lives. And the idea is, first of all, we got to pay attention to God's love. If we go to him every single day and let him say to us, I love you, you matter to me, I don't make mistakes. That's a good way to start our year, don't you think? I hope you're doing that. I hope you go before the Lord and just sit before him, our Lord, our Maker, our Father, and hear him say, I love you every day. I think that will make a difference. But we also wanted to pay attention to the tension. The tensions at moments when we get convicted to say, what's going on here? Should I do this or should I not? Because we all have participated 100% in every bad decision we've ever made. And if we start paying attention to the tension inside of us, that'll help us not to make so many mistakes. So we want to hear God's love. We want to pay attention to His love. We want to pay attention to the tension. We want to pay attention to the narrative, the stories that we've been telling ourselves, so that we operate by the truth. The Bible says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And so we want to hear the truth that Jesus has for us, that God loves us, that He wants to walk with us. We don't want to believe some of the stories that we make up in our head. That's why the Bible tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We got to get this straight up here. And then we want to pay attention to the wisdom around us. Be in fellowship, other Christians that can speak into our lives. We hear the Lord's voice, hear Him say, I love you, but encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. And last week we read this, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship was with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is a message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word is not in us. John is writing to the early church and he says, let's take it from the top. This is how all of our franchises will operate. It all starts with God. God is light. He was in the beginning. He was with God. He is God. That's who Jesus is. So He's pure. He's good. He's holy. He's righteous in every way. So to be walk in the light is for us to be transparent too. We got to be above board, above the table, as they say. Be authentic in who you are. That's at its core the gospel. It starts with God. And it's about dealing with human sin. That we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we all want to end up in the same place. That's where he goes, so that our joy will be complete. So the idea is if we deal with this sin and if we are pure and righteous and above board, someday we're all going to end up at the same place. And then it'll be a great celebration. Last night, our youth group went to a concert and they were worshiping the Lord. And Friday night and Saturday, MJ took the elementary kids for their first overnighter, and she sent us a video, and I thought, wow, what a slice of heaven. There's 1,000 elementary kids all in the same building praising the Lord and worshiping Him, and you couldn't help but just have some joy. I mean, that's a little slice of heaven to hear kids' voices sing. Our kids, your kids, my kids, some of your grandchildren, some of your own children that are over there now, they were standing and raising their hands and worshiping the Lord. And there's not a parent in here that didn't see their child stand and worship the Lord, didn't smile a little bit. That's when joy will be complete. That's when all the pain and the sorrow will be all gone. It'll all be done. And if we all strive and we end up at the same place, what a party. What freedom. What a celebration. And so John is trying to say, here is some things. And so we're going to cover a few things this morning. How to tell what is authentic Christianity. Just like you can tell what authentic Burger King is or authentic Big Mac. Of course I can't go make a Big Mac. That's not authentic. It's not the trademark. So here's some trademarks. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. He goes, there are certain identifiable distinguishing characteristics. If we fall and take a tumble, He'll pick us up. Remember last week I said being a Christian is like snow skiing. The idea is to try to ski, but you're going to fall, especially if you're a beginner. You're going to fall, but the idea to really be a true snow skier is you get back up and you try to ski down the slope again. But once in a while you fall, but if you fall and you just lay there and you scoot all the way down on your rear, then you're not really trying. And the essence of Christianity is to try to walk with God, try to honor Him, but there's moments when you're going to make mistakes, there's moments when you're going to sin. And what you do is let the Holy Spirit come and remind you, pay attention to the tension, and say, that was wrong, Wes. And you say, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So basically, we fall, He picks us up, He dusts the snow off of us, right? And He sets us on the course again. So the first characteristic of authentic Christianity is you got to deal with sin. That's why, in order to be welcome at the table, authentic Christianity says, I have recognized that I've sinned against the body and the blood. That's what caused the cross to begin with, and so I acknowledge that. So the first thing we do is deal with sin. Verse 3 says, we know that we have come to know Him if we can keep His commands. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys His word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did. So the first thing you do is deal with sin. The second thing is, He's saying, do you obey the Lord? Are you obedient? If you're obedient, note verse 6 says, you must live as Jesus did. How did Jesus live? He's the one who said, not my will, but thine be done. He's the one who Philippians 2 says, He became obedient even to the point of death, death on a cross. That's obedience. How did Jesus live? He lived obediently. So the idea for us is, are we genuinely, authentically, truly trying to hear His voice? Are you truly trying to say, what is your will for my life? Are you listening for His commands? Are you under His authority, or you just wear a Christian cross around your neck and do whatever you want to do? You're the authority then. Do you yield to His word? Do you get permission? Or do you go, what? What permission? So many of us in this world, we deal with this whole concept. There's freedom in Christ. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. The idea is to be free, yes. Free from sin and death and the law and all those things. But the idea isn't to take advantage of the Lord to go, okay, I'm saved, I got what I want out of Him, and now I'll live how I want. It'd be like, this maybe not be a great illustration, but it'd be like an engaged couple to go, technically, can the guy kiss another girl when he's engaged and it not be adultery? Technically. Technically, can he date other women? Because he's not bound by the oath of marriage. He just said, I promise. Technically, it's not adultery. But if you're looking for a technicality, is that a much of a relationship? Not to the girl. And it's not to the Lord either. Technically, yeah, you're cleansed. We're clean. But if you don't want to love Him and honor Him, if you want to date other gods, if you want to be your own authority, you don't want to acknowledge Him and do the things that please Him. Imagine on Valentine's Day, a engaged guy goes and buys another girl Valentine's. That's kind of what we do sometimes with the Lord. Like, I'm betrothed to you. There's going to be a wedding supper of the Lamb someday in the kingdom of heaven, right? So we're all betrothed. We're the bride of Christ. We're there, but not yet there. And yet sometimes we want to date. We want to date other things and put other things above the Lord and say that you're not first and premier in my life. And John is trying to write to the church at large and saying, the indicator is that you be engaged with the Lord and stay engaged with the Lord and honor Him with the Lord. But if you're living in a way that's not committed to Him, there's not much engaging there. It's a big deal if you're genuine and authentic. The Lord even says it. Look at the verses, Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Jesus says, in his speech, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did not we prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. It's a big deal to the Lord if we're genuine and authentic and transparent. McDonald's has the corner on Big Mac. But I can make a hamburger and call it Big Mac. But one, there's a big difference. One is official and it's endorsed. The other is not. It's like counterfeit money. It can look exactly like real money. But the real value is it's from its official approval. One is official, one is not. He goes on in verse 7 when he says, dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Because this is old as time, this is not new. But then he says, yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light and there's nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. He goes, there's nothing new here, really. Same old thing, but yet it's new. It's the same old song, different verse. At core, Christianity really does start with just loving God. The core doesn't change, even if society around it changes. Did you hear that? The core of what it means to be a Christian doesn't change if the whole world is adapting and changing to everything. You can't write new scriptures. You can't make up a new menu of what's okay because we've now somehow evolved. At its core, if you follow God, you're a Christian. That is what he's saying. You call sin a sin. And you love God by the way you obey him. You know what God, you know, I've heard of Gary Smalley's the love language. You know what your love language is? You better know Valentine's Day is Friday. Guys, that's free. That doesn't cost you extra on your tithe or anything. It's coming. What's your wife's love language? God's love language is obey me. If you love me, you will obey me. The Big Mac hasn't changed for years, but there's lots of different things on the menu. The Golden Arches are still the Golden Arches. They're commissioned. But now they make chicken and salad. No one knows why, but they just do. And at its core, he's saying the greatest command is love God. And the second, like it, from the beginning, we know that all the whole law is summed up in this. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it is this. Love others. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so the third thing he says, the distinguishing authentic characteristic of being a Christian is, do you love others? To hate others, verse 11, he's saying, is like walking in the dark. He's basically saying in this memo to church people, you can go to church, you can have a great big Bible, you can sing all the songs, you can have devotions, but if you're, and you can be even be angry at all the things that Christians are angry about. But if you've got envy and bitterness and resentment and hatement towards a brother or sister, all you're doing in that moment is putting on an I love Jesus t-shirt over your hard heart. Because that's an outward expression. But the core is that our hearts are right before the Lord. I don't know if you know this, but last week the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. Yeah, now you're worshiping. Yeah, I get it. Don't go there too much. It's cool. I'm a Chiefs fan, so I bought this hat. I'm an authentic Chiefs fan because I bought it before the Super Bowl, see? Some of you are bandwagoners that bought them afterwards. But there's a cool thing because this little symbol here says NFL. It's the shield. It's the signal. And it's true, authentic, that when you buy something with the Chiefs because they belong to the NFL, it has to have this logo. Somebody bought this one. It says Super Bowl 50 champs, but there's no logo. The NFL didn't get any money. This is counterfeit. It still wears like a hat. It still says Super Bowl, but it's not franchised. That's kind of how it is when Paul's going, do you have this official seal on your heart? And one of the ways that you can tell an official seal if it's not counterfeit is there's certain indicators. You know that you've sinned, you've dealt with sin, you love God by the way you obey Him and live. And the third thing is very clear to wear that shield. It says, I love people. Otherwise, it's just counterfeit. It's not genuine and real. God says, you can't love me who you have not seen and hate your brother whom you have seen. You cannot put an I love Jesus t-shirt on the outside and just say, therefore, I'm a Christian. If your heart doesn't love God and your heart doesn't love others, there's no stamp of approval. Verse 12, it's interesting because now this is like a poetic discourse, so it's probably an early church hymn or a jingle or a song that they'd all recognize. He says, I'm writing you, to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of His name. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. So this would be a song that they would recognize. It would call their attention to be like Amazing Grace or I Surrender All, one of those classic old hymns, tunes. The song helps us to remember when, doesn't it? And this is a call to them to remember. As you sing and hum this tune, don't just sing Amazing Grace and forget about the grace of the Lord. So he's been saying, first, take care of this sin thing. Second, obey God. Third, love the family. And then the fourth option that is truly distinguishing authentic Christianity is you love God or you love the world. You can't do both. One will not last, he's saying, and that's the love of the world, isn't it? There it is in a nutshell. That's the core authentic earmarks of what it means to be a Christian. Note verse 17. I love this verse. Whoever does the will of God lives forever. There it is. That's how you can define what it means to be a Christian. This isn't about us going around and judging people. Go, well, I know they're not a Christian now. Or they're not authentic. The Bible says you'll know a tree by its fruit. But this authentic idea is Whoever does the will of God lives forever. That's why Jesus says, to know me is to have eternal life. Think of it this way. This is how it operates, I think, in the world. To snuggle up to someone to get what you want when you need it, and then you ignore them the rest of the time. What is that? You tell me. Have you ever had someone snuggle up next to you and then just to get something from you, and once they get it, you don't see them anymore? That's the world. That's not Christianity. That's how the world operates. We don't want to snuggle up to God to get eternity and then ignore Him most of the rest of our days here on earth. That's worldliness. That's not Christianity. You hear that? We don't want to snuggle up to God just to get eternity and then ignore Him the rest of our days, our time here on earth. That's worldliness. You get what you want. Paul wrote to the Galatians, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. You reap what you sow." The Proverbs say, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." It's good to have a little fear in this moment to think, am I authentically trying to go down this mountain? And then in verse 18, "Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belong to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what He promised us, eternal life. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as He has taught you, remain in Him." He's basically breaking it down and say it like this. This is like a Burger King sneaking over, and he goes to work for McDonald's for a little while, and then he gets some of the trade secrets and some of the recipe secrets. And when they get what they want, they go back to Burger King. You know what they are? They're anti-McDonald's. You know what someone who kind of infiltrates the body of Christ just to sell you a bunch of stuff? They're anti-you. They're anti-church body. This is the idea of, in all these franchises popping up, there's some people that are trying to take advantage of these early churches popping up, maybe for financial gain, or maybe to go, well, I want a little bit of Jesus and add Him to my Baal worship. And they get a little bit of Jesus and they go back and they live however they want. Or they go to church, they go get baptized, and they go like, I'm good to go, and then they go live however they want. That's Antichrist. It's not for Christ. It's not remaining and staying and being connected in the fellowship. That's not the gospel. That's not the idea of what it means to be a follower of Christ. Whoever does the will of God lives forever. The Antichrist in this scenario is someone who just does like they did. Still in the trade secret. They don't get what they wanted, and they leave. Or they get just what they wanted, and then they leave. Note the key is what they wanted. There's a big difference between what they wanted and what He wants. That's the heartbeat of a Christian. It's not my will, but His will. To be Christ-centered means I center my life around what He wants more than what I want. Regardless, Being a Christian means to center your life around what He wants, regardless of your denominational background, regardless of your political affiliation, regardless of your sexual orientation, regardless of your social situation. What they wanted versus what He wants. And the key is to remain in Him. That's what He's saying. Keep connected. That's the heartbeat. That's the idea of an engaged couple. Keep loving her until your marriage is consummated. Keep being faithful to Him until your marriage is consummated, and be faithful all into eternity. He says, and now, dear children, continue in Him so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed of Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of Him. He goes, you guys know this. You know this deep down inside your hearts. I'm just here to remind you of it today. You know how you can distinguish a real diamond from a plastic one or a glass one? Heat. Turn up the heat, and the plastic melts and burns up, and the diamond remains. You know how to tell between real gold and pyrite, fool's gold? Heat. One just melts and becomes more pure. The other burns away. He goes, I'm here to turn up the heat. Do you feel it? I'm here to turn up the heat today to remind you, to show you what is genuine and real. And if you don't like the heat, they say, get out of the kitchen. But those who are genuinely trying aren't afraid. They invite this examination. They, like David, say, search me, O God. See if there be any offensive way in me. Today is that opportunity to go, search me. Go ahead. Light the flame. Start a fire. Burn away the dross. Purify me. Make me more like You. I want to be pure and light and just and righteous. Because why? Because we want to be real, don't we? I want to be authentic, don't you? We want to be exactly who God intended us to be. So two ways to discover what is counterfeit. For gold and diamonds, you turn up the heat. For dollar bills, $50 bills, what do? They shine the light on it. And if it's got the watermark, it's genuine and authentic and real. Right now, do me a favor and just bow your heads. Close your eyes. These four distinguishing characteristics. Deal with sin. Love God. Love neighbor. Obey God. That's the idea of what it means to be authentically Christian. This is your opportunity. Hold your life up to the light, to that light. One bill, you hold it up and it's false, it's counterfeit. It's veneer, it's a t-shirt on the outside, it's a henna tattoo. One is genuine, one is real, one is solid through the flesh. It's ink mingled with skin and tattoo. This week, I want to challenge you. Practice permission. If I were to go make hamburgers, flip them around and say, hey, I'm going to call it McDonald's, you would go, Wes, you can't sell those. You haven't got permission. You're not authentically a McDonald's employee or a McDonald's franchise. So for us, as we call ourselves Christians, we get permission. We want the authentication. We want the shield with the cross to be genuine, authentically stamped on our hearts and our minds. So I want to challenge you in a practical way. Practice permission. You're 100% engaged in every bad decision you've ever made. So this week, practice permission. And what you say, and how you conduct your affairs, and your lifestyle this week. And then
I want to remind you, go back to this last verse of 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. Whoever does the will of God lives forever.
You don't have to be afraid of the days ahead. You don't have to be afraid if Jesus comes back tomorrow. Why? Because if you're doing the will of God, you're going to live forever. That's authentic and genuine and real.